One thing that's a really sensitive topic is founders agreements. You know, the original who gets what of a business. And even at Starter Studio, it's tough to get people to open up about it because, of course, well, one, they know they're going to be on a podcast and everybody else in their business is going to hear about it, which is fair enough. But two, it's hard to be honest with yourself about these types of sensitive things because, nobody wants to come off as like a, a selfish jerk, but everybody, of course, values their own contribution to a business. And I'm really interested to see how that plays out with these founders who have co-founders, who have other people on the team who are part of the founding team, and how they are going to, go through the legal process and come out the other side, hopefully as partners, but ideally as partners and friends, which is can be tough to do.
You know, I can imagine the pressure that they're feeling. It's almost like setting up a prenup. I mean, that can be awkward enough as it is, but then you have to set up a prenup in front of an audience. Imagine doing that on stage in an auditorium. I mean, that's kind of like what we're putting them through by documenting their journey.
Let's say you wanted to make a spreadsheet that, was a Microsoft product, but it was a little faster. What maybe would you call that?
You know what I'd call it, Brian? I'd call it an accelerator.
Transitive verb. To bring about at an earlier time.
To hasten the progress or development.
To move faster. To gain speed. To hasten the progress or development. To move faster. Accelerator.
I'm Josh Elledge, and this is the Accelerator Podcast. If you've been listening to the podcast, you're already aware that there are both general mentors as well as subject matter experts that are brought in to help the founders on particular topics. Now, one of these subject matter experts I think you're really going to enjoy, particularly if you have a startup, is Melissa from the Akerman Law Firm.
So I'm Melissa Koch. I am a business and technology lawyer at Akerman up the street. I'm here based in our Orlando office. I've been practicing law for 17 years, both in the law firm environment as a general counsel. So I have kind of experience on both sides, the business side as well as the outside counsel, outside lawyer side. I love working with businesses in all aspects of what they do, but especially on the operational side and the technology side. I think helping businesses come up with the right solutions for them and how they build and procure and sell and also develop their technology is really very critical in helping businesses be very successful. So that's a little bit about what I do. Akerman is a national law firm. We're an AmLaw 100 firm. We have over 600 lawyers across the United States with offices all over the place, including in Florida, New York, Chicago, D.C., California, many of the states. We are a general service firm, so we have litigation, corporate, all the disciplines that you would typically expect. But I do think we're unique. We have a focus on innovation. We try and do things smarter. We try and provide very innovative solutions for our clients, and we're very committed to delivering exceptional service. So that's who we are and what we do.
So how did you and how did Akerman get involved with Starter Studio?
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of the Starter community, and I'm very involved with WeVenture. And I've been kind of keeping an eye on Canvas. And when this opportunity came up to sponsor Class 5 of Starter Studio, I thought it would be a great way for us to get our feet wet and get involved and help the Starter community, because we're committed to local contributions that we can make to help make a difference for our founders here in Orlando.
Melissa with Akerman met most of the starters individually, and she also did a full workshop with the starters to help them get a grasp on the ins and outs of launching a business, as well as running it without falling into any legal potholes. Now, first up, Melissa spoke with Tom and Alyssa from Backstory.
I guess when it comes down to it, just it is like an overview when it comes to like online, like an online platform of sorts.
Things to think about.
Where's the coverage?
Things Where do to think you start?
About. Yeah.
So you're stealing a little bit of the thunder from the legal basics class that you guys are going to have on Monday, but okay. I'm happy to give you a sneak preview if you think that'll be helpful.
Sneak peek?
Yeah, sneak peek. If I remember correctly, you guys are going to, the backstory concept is that you're going to take narratives, people's narratives, and kind of translate that into social action.
Like, yeah, social action campaigns.
Right, social action campaigns. So what I could do is give you some kind of general things to think about as you're building your platform, as you're coming up with your own narrative as to what it is that you guys do.
Yeah.
And how it is that you're going to approach the problem that you... your website and your offering is going to solve.
Yeah.
So the first part are kind of what I'll characterize as the mechanics. Have you formed your entity? Are you guys an
LLC?
We
just did that this week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you pick?
LLC.
Okay, great.
Is that a good thing?
It can be. It's easy. Did you do it yourself on Sunbiz?
We did.
Great.
That was
easy.
Recommended.
Yeah. It's quick. Did the accounting folks kind of help you with that?
No.
No?
I went to the infamous Ron Cook.
Yeah.
He helps us with everything.
Well, good. I mean, you know, what's nice about LLCs is they are easy. They're easy to manage. There's not a lot of formality associated with it generally. And they're really easy to convert to a corporation if at some point down the line you want investors. So you guys have an LLC. You're well on your way. Did you guys set up, get your tax ID number and set up a bank account?
Apparently we have to do that.
Okay. That's really easy. So if you Google EIN, because that's the employee identification number and IRS, it will take you right to the page.
Okay.
And now that you have an LLC, you have an L number. That's what you put in, and they track you, and you get a number and an EIN number. And that's basically like your social security number for your business.
Okay.
Which means you can go to a bank and open a bank account.
It's exciting.
You're legit. And so
official.
It is. It's real. And so what you have at that point is an entity, and there's a difference between you guys and your entity. And you're probably learning a lot about that. And
that's a good thing, because if someone comes after us, it can take the assets of the business.
Exactly. So it's a liability shield. So you want to keep it separate. You don't want to commingle your funds. You don't want to pay for anything personal out of the bank account. You want to keep that strictly business.
Okay.
So to the extent you guys are commissioning logos or reserving your domain names or writing checks to developers, you do it out of that account.
All right. I've been doing that all through my personal account.
Okay, but now it's going
to
change.
Okay, to switch over to the new account once we set it up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Brian Orr talked to Tom after the meeting with Melissa.
What's the biggest challenge to you right now with legal?
Understanding what is needed and what isn't. For example, I went on LegalZoom trying to create a business entity, and they kind of hit you with a lot of perceived added value with certain documents you will be needing and tax things. And the fact of the matter is we don't know exactly what we need, because then I talked to another person who's an entrepreneur and said, you don't need any of that. This is all you need. So it's understanding what is the real value and what we actually need to operate legally.
It seems like one of the things that comes up a lot is people falling in love with a particular name for their business or for a product or whatever. So if you could catch somebody before they fell in love with something, what would you say?
I'd say slow down. It's just like dating, right? So you don't want to rush into things with a name because things can go wrong. You definitely want to do your diligence around it before you get attached, because for a number of reasons, somebody else might be using it. Somebody else might be using it in a way that might not reflect well on you later down the line. And that could be subject matter related. That could be content related. That could be a whole host of things that might reflect badly because it's associated with a name. Also translating. You know, you have some kind of famous stories where people will pick a very fanciful name only to find out later on that it means something terrible in another language that would be very embarrassing. So, and that's even before you get to the IP portion of the analysis. And when you do get to the IP portion of the analysis, you want to make sure that you've done your searching on the USPTO website to see who might have it, if it's live, what class of goods it's in, and make an informed decision before you fall in love with that name.
All right, another question I have for you, okay. Don't take this the wrong way, okay. Is that it sounds like you're pretty in love with the name of the business now.
So that's not, how can I take that the wrong
because
way?
Because of what I'm
going to
ask you next.
Oh, okay, perfect. I have a feeling I know what's coming.
I forgot how I was going to form the question.
I am in love with it because it's probably, I'm so invested in it, right? Once you stick with it and you invest a lot of time in something, typically you care more about it. It's kind of like human nature. So I am, and I do know that maybe it's a kind of a generic word, but I like the double meaning of it. So lay it on me. What's your next question?
So my next question is, so what number of how many names have you been through at this point?
How many names have I written down in my journal? Over 1,000.
No, yeah. I mean, like, because I know of this being the third that I've seen on paper.
Okay. So how many of the word backstory of the
no,
name?
No, names of your business.
Okay. Oh, of actual names? Right. Just 3.
Okay. So Changemaker.
Yeah. So the first one was Givefolio, okay. Which was a separate idea that I moved on from. Then it was Changemaker because actually my mom thought of Changemaker. I didn't want to like tell anyone, but it's kind of funny. And she loved it. When I told her I changed it, she was so mad. And then she's like, you're right, it's better. But with that being said, there's only three total. And Changemaker just, it wasn't targeted enough. I don't think it spoke to what we were trying to do. Also, I think it's a company called Ashoka or Ashaka. They're a global company that's all about social change. And they had Changemakers as their website. And it was just, I don't know. We needed our own identity. So it's the third one.
Okay. The other question is you have a co-founder now. Yes. Would you call her a co-founder?
I would.
Okay. So, and you haven't had, like, it doesn't sound like you've had like an official equity conversation yet. Is that correct?
Correct. We've basically just been working and kind of understanding each other and if it would be a good fit and if we both want to commit to it. It was kind of this organic experience over the last month. And we mentioned earlier this week that we wanted to have a real conversation about it. So today we actually got this spreadsheet that I got online about equity, and it broke down all the different pieces of the business, what we're going to contribute, what are our responsibilities, and it came up with numbers that we'll talk about later. And we had a real conversation today, and it was actually a really positive experience. And I think we're on the same page. Yeah.
If you watch Shark Tank, you hear the subject of patents come up a lot. Now, patents can be important, but there are a lot of different types of patents, as well as trademarks and copyrights. Now, these all fall under the heading of IP, or intellectual property. Now, this is important, but it's also a little confusing.
Now, when it comes to, because a lot of people talk about patents like it's a general topic, but I'm understanding that there's a pretty big difference between a design and utility patent. And can you just give me a quick rundown of like the differences and what that is?
Sure. So you have the three main categories of IP: trademarks, which we've talked a lot about today. You have patents. Patents really are there to protect functionality. You have utility patents, which are really strictly functionality, and there are criteria that you have to meet in order to be granted a patent, and it takes time and investment to do so. There are design patents as well, which will protect kind of the functional design elements of a particular invention or innovation as well. So it's a little bit different. And then copyright, which is also really important, is what protects design elements, generally speaking. So it's a little bit different. And this is where it does pay, I think, for people to spend a little bit of time educating themselves on kind of what a trademark is, what a patent is, the difference between utility and design and copyright. So they understand kind of what protects what in this world, because many people just talk about IP very generally. It's easy to get confused about the different categories, but they're all designed to protect different things. And as a business owner, you want to understand what's gonna be the best strategy to protect your assets.
All right, so choosing a lawyer. This is pretty important. So I'll give you a 2-second overview of my background. So I'm a business and technology lawyer at Ackerman. I've been practicing law for 17 years, but I've been general counsel as well as a law firm lawyer. So I understand both points of view. And I've tended to be general counsel for major brands, but with any sort of innovation initiative that I've worked on, there's always legal issues, and there's always a sequence that it makes sense to call your lawyers in. So timing is important. Now, you guys are very lucky. You have access to lawyers as part of this program to answer your general questions. But when you're getting bigger and you're making more strategic decisions about how you want to interface with your customers or how you want to interface with your suppliers or who you want to bring on as advisors or how you want to structure your entity, all of those are critical moments for you to reach out and find a lawyer who can help you make those decisions. And like I mentioned before, by analogy, you want to pick somebody that has subject matter expertise that makes sense for you and what it is that you're doing. So you're going to want to find someone who has the right balance balance of skills and relatability, and who understands the kind of business that you want to be in and where you want to be in your industry. That pays off time and time and time again. And the way that I've always explained it is, you look at your council as an extension of your team, and you want every member of your team to be as strong as possible. And it doesn't mean you overuse them, because there's always a fee involved. But you definitely want to find someone who can work with you at all these different stages and really help you achieve your goals.
And we always enjoy speaking with Mark from Big Box Of, but Mark isn't always thrilled to speak with us.
How are you feeling?
Bad.
You didn't look bad when I just saw you. Are you just bad because you're sitting with me, or?
I don't enjoy this process of the podcast. I don't enjoy the Starter Studio process.
So would you say you don't enjoy it? Like, you don't enjoy it, but you know it's good for you, or you don't enjoy it and you're fed up with it, or?
Yeah, it's good for me, but I don't enjoy it.
It's kind of like medicine, or?
Like medicine? No, because medicine fixes your problems. Here, it's like they throw the pill up in the air and they run away, and then the pill lands in shag carpeting, and you have to go find the shag carpeting. This is me, though. When I get defensive, I start attacking people. So,
who's attacking you?
I'm attacking people.
No, I mean, but you said you're
not doing good.
No, but I said you're getting defensive. So, what's making you feel defensive?
I'm not doing good.
How do you know?
Ask me what I've done.
What have you done?
Nothing. Yeah, there's like nothing. I don't know what anybody else is doing, but I'm not doing anything. We're supposed to be doing an MVP. I don't understand the concept. That was like last week, and then this week I have meetings with my mentors that I haven't scheduled yet. And I'm not working on the MVP until I meet with the mentors, so I'm not doing anything.
So do you mind if I ask why? Like, what's holding you back?
You can't do anything. You can't do something that you don't know how to do.
Okay, so talk to me about, because you've built a successful business, right? Mm-hmm. So how did that work differently than this?
I did everything myself. The idea was good. I don't think my idea is good anymore.
What changed?
The more you examine it, the more it's like, it's just an idea that you want to do, but it's not based on that if other people want it. It's just like, oh, you think it's a good idea, so you're doing it. But I don't think people want it.
But do you still like it?
No.
What changed?
I talked to people about it, and I thought more about it. It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just, because, okay, so you said that nobody has told you it's a bad idea. Mm-hmm. Okay. You did like the idea. Otherwise, you wouldn't have come up with it.
No. I came up with the idea and I shared it with people that I trust, and the people that I trust said it was a good idea, but I don't think it's a good idea anymore. Now that I've talked through it and thought through it, it seems like a lot of work and something that people don't really want. Like, it doesn't solve a problem. It just kind of sits there like a, what is this called? A whoopee cushion that you've squeezed and then you're like, oh, I'm done with that. And you put it on the shelf and it's kind of laying there like a whoopee cushion with no air.
Yeah, a whoopee cushion with no air doesn't sound. Of course, I don't know if you've seen this before now, but nowadays they're like cheating and they're filling whoopee cushions full of foam. And so now when you, like, they just reinflate themselves automatically. Oh. It's really irritating. It feels like totally cheating.
That's a metaphor there. Something about bouncing back. If I leave you with anything, any thought to encourage you on your journey, it's this: failure is always within your grasp. You don't even have to try.
Okay, this is an honest question, all right? Is that because?
I'm afraid, yeah. Partly, but also partly because I don't understand that process. And I just need the babysitting, the hand-holding to go, someone tell me who, yeah, I mean, I think, from day one, I could see failure. That's why I didn't want to be recorded. Like, I know that there's a potential for failure.
Now, I hope you've been enjoying the Accelerator podcast as we follow the starters in Starter Studio. It's very, very cool to be able to watch these starters grow, and you're going to continue to see them grow because of the help of a lot of mentors, teachers, and coaches. Now, these starters were selected because they showed the right stuff in episode one, and so they are getting Starter Studio completely pro bono. Now, this podcast is also pro bono to you. Now, Brian and I are thrilled to be able to produce this audio show, so all we ask in return is just simply your warm feelings toward the following corporate partners who make this all work. Thank you so much to the University of Central Florida, who does a lot of work in terms of supporting the growing entrepreneurial ecosystem throughout Central Florida. UCF is the number two largest university in the United States in terms of student population and in the top 15 in the category of most innovative. UCF is a great partner in education, technical resources, workforce development, and grant support, along with other noble missions locally, such as helping make Starter Studio happen with the support of the Office of Research and UCF Innovation Corps. Thank you. The other platinum partner this season that's helping this all work is the audit, tax, and business advisory firm Withum. And that's WITHUM. Now, they specialize in helping tech startups. They are the go-to firm for all things accounting and business consulting. If you are a startup, Withum is the go-to firm for you. Now, another partner we want to thank is the law firm Akerman. And of course, we want to thank our other sponsors, NV Labs, Code School, and Corridor Legal. And of course, we want to thank our team, Greg Pollock, who's our founder, Donna McKenzie, the executive director of Starter Studio, and Melissa Wasserman, who's the director of programming and operations. Now, if I ask you what MVP stands for, what would you say? Well, no, not that MVP, sports fans. We're talking about minimum viable product. In essence, the smallest possible version of your product or service so you can just get it out there and test it. In the words of Guy Kawasaki, don't worry, be crappy. Now, the starters were tasked with creating an MVP, and then they all got back together to talk about their progress. Jolene talks first about where she is with Style Squad.
I feel like I'm kind of behind, to be honest. Because I was really trying to focus on building my audience mainly through Facebook, but it's a challenge for me. And besides that, I don't even know if I should move forward with I have my other team member working on mock-up screens, but I don't know if because the Facebook group is supposed to be my MVP, if I should move forward. I don't know. I'm really lost, to be honest.
I'll move forward. Why do you feel lost?
Because I thought I was supposed to prove the concept on Facebook, but since I'm having trouble building the audience, it's hard to prove.
Sorry to interrupt, but I follow your Facebook group and I think it's doing pretty well. I get almost every day
I get notifications every day, and so I'm damn, true.
That's more than we have notifications. I get more notifications from your group than my group, that's for sure.
We get so excited.
Yeah, a lot of people are always picture I posted today, guys. Oh yeah, what's up? A lot of people are commenting on the pictures and then liking the comments and replying to comments. There's a lot of interactivity on your page that you're not realizing.
But at the same time, it's not people outside of here.
You need to spread this to your friends on Facebook, mm-hmm. get your friends to join. You haven't sent out something hey, invite your friends to join my page.
We went on everyone's phone and started adding people.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to other Facebook groups that are just fashion, men's fashion, women's fashion, and just mm-hmm. add yourself to those groups and then post in those groups?
I can't find good ones,
Yeah, basically, join every group.
I would say joining the group. Beauty pages would be good for you, too. Cross.
Every comment section you can get into, post your 2 cents in there, guerrilla marketing. He was telling you about, ads on Facebook the other day. I was I wish you could just,
I tried that. Spend. It didn't work. He showed me how to do, a Facebook app.
I wish it did work. You
No, go ahead.
You are experimenting.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and you're a brand that nobody knows, and you should do 5 more tests with different words, with different images, and different audiences. You should think, okay, I'm going to spend $50 total, and I'm going to spend $2, and it will run for 3 hours. What do I get? You know, see what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, and you definitely want to have
it's not, you tried once.
You can do less than $5 too.
I told you that. I showed you that.
It's been a few days, and Melissa Wasserman shared how things have been going with Mark since the last downer conversation we had with him.
How have things been going with Mark?
Good. He and I had a great conversation that he's really bought in now, but he gave me permission to kind of chase him if he tries to, like, if he gets scared. But he's also, I think, starting to see that, A, everybody else is in the same boat and not everybody knows what they're doing but him. It's everybody that doesn't know what they're doing. And then also, he's talked to a few people and realized that it's not that scary. At the mentor meet and greet, he talked to a bunch of people and got a lot of good ideas. And the next day, we had kind of an aha moment where we were going over the canvas and saying, and he's like, you know, so I thought this, but that's not the case. And I said, how did you know that? And he said, well, because I talked to people last night. I was like, wait, you talked to people and you learned stuff that changed your business model or business idea? And he kind of gave me a look. So yes, I never want to say I told you so, but I told you so. That was really good. And he's definitely getting over it. The other thing we talked about with him particularly and with everybody is, you don't need to go accost strangers at the mall to talk to people. There are people that you are connected to via Facebook or friends of friends. And if you just reach out and say, hey, who will talk to me about this for 5 minutes, people will give you permission to talk to them, and then it's less scary. So he's going that route a lot. He's talking to people that he already knows, which is a lot less scary.
Which is interesting in his case because he has a food truck business, which is like totally out there in the public eye and talking to people and that kind of thing. I find that interesting. But I guess we all have our things that are it's hard for us to do, right?
Yeah, and it, what was really funny is most people, it's because they don't want their idea to be rejected. And he's not married to his idea, which is great. He's approaching this the right way, which is tell me why this is terrible and tell me what I should do differently. So that's great.
Is that everybody?
Squirtle.
Yes. Oh no, Mark. Marcus.
I got nothing.
That's a lot.
Bring me your knowledge.
What
do you got? We got nothing.
No, that's not true.
That's true.
So, where are you both at? What are you going?
I don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm doing.
Where are you? What have you created?
What is the last thing I've worked on?
Yeah, what have you created so far?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Uh-uh.
You talk to people.
Yeah, but that's not creating anything.
Information. Okay. So what do you think you could create to do sort of an MVP for your product?
I want the easiest thing possible.
Okay, what is that?
I don't know. They all sound hard.
What's your product?
What's my product? Mm-hmm. A website.
A website that does what?
Allows you to buy the 10 best things in every city.
Okay.
In America.
How can you fake that?
Can't. You can do what you asked us to do. I think you asked us just to do a landing page with an email sign up.
Could you do a blog with the 10 best things in Orlando and have people potentially link to them to their sites to buy them?
Why would I do that?
To see if people click through.
No.
Why not?
You should make it 10 best things in Orlando.
I love the links about it, though.
10 best things in Orlando. See if it works. And then find the 10 best things in Chicago and post it in Orlando.
That doesn't relate to what I thought you were asking us to do. You said make a landing page and an email sign-up sheet.
That's what some people are doing. What should you do? So
I don't know.
How can you vet that people care about the 10 best things in Orlando?
You're going to keep doing it.
Yeah, I am.
You're
going to keep doing it.
Right, you have an audience. About,
like,
you have
a well, and other people here can give ideas. Like, heck, brainstorm for them.
Have you thought about looking into, like, teaming up with or talking to someone like Squiggle or another, like, travel agency that, like, specializes in cities and, like, what's, you know what I mean? Like, pulling from them or talking to them about stuff. How to go about it. Because it sounds like it's, like, kind of, like, art, culture, and travel. Your website.
Are you selling?
Is it about travel though? Because
yeah, like what's
you're really just it's about culture, I think.
Yeah, is it like art and culture more than
there's yeah, it's products, it's gifts.
Oh, okay, that makes
so what
sense.
Are the best gifts to buy from each city? And you can go on my website and buy one from Houston, one from Miami.
But I can't yet because your website doesn't exist, so what can I do?
You tell me. I'm not supposed to have all the answers. Put that on your podcast.
Alright, so I have an idea.
Please, Jane, you gave her half an hour. You totally changed your business model. She's going to be a millionaire. I'm sitting here being recorded.
Okay.
For quality assurance and training purposes.
What's in the coffee cup?
Not what I wish was in the coffee cup.
Alright, so I think, you know, this requires effort on both sides. You know? So we'll start there. So you should make on maybe use your Daily City blog to post an article about different cities in the country, 10 best things, 10 best gifts, potential proof that they'll actually buy the stuff.
Oh, he's typing.
Uh-oh.
That's actually, I think, a really good idea.
Yeah. That's it. See if it resonates with people, and then you'll have kind of proof that they'll actually buy the stuff.
And they're all here, right, in Orlando?
And what if you just pick the 10 best in Orlando and then say at the bottom of the article, for the 10 best of St. Pete, check out my website next week.
Oh!
Or like next month.
And just do one list
send
every
application.
Week.
Drop the mic. Like, people can apply, like, this is the best gift here. Like, you know, like, so, like, give me, a, like, ask for, like, ideas. Like, what do you think are the best gifts in the city? Like, what do people go there for?
What should go on this list next month?
A swan for the
yes.
year.
Which, you know, do you live in this city? What are the 10 best gifts for tourists? Like, just start doing stuff.
Oh.
Your communication. Mark.
But if you use your blog this week, you have to probably stay Orlando.
Wait. Okay. I can't think at the same time.
This is what you're good at. That's the cool thing about what you're doing is you're already good at it.
Well, I could.
A lot of us who aren't.
No, what we're talking about is building this RVP, VPR. I am not good at that.
No, but you are.
MTV.
Yeah.
My MTV, I'm not good at. In your guys' idea, I could reach out. I could pick three cities and reach out to a blogger in each city, and tell me the 10 best shops. And then I can go in there that are online in their town. So my idea in sitting here was a web WordPress landing page. And you know how they have those like a template where there's a big picture and it says, we love to make bricks. And you scroll down. Here's how we make our bricks. You scroll down. We also donate 10% to this company. You know, this, and then the next one would be like, this work we're launching soon. Sign up for our email list. Isn't that what you were talking about as a landing page?
Yeah, for some people, right? But there are a bazillion of his MVP is not a landing page. It's like an actual freaking product, right? His MVP is not a landing page. It's this. Oh, sorry, I broke your MVP.
Yeah, their MVP is
that's his MVP right there.
Right? So it's Joe Beans right now.
Hers is a Facebook page. So
what ours is?
Yeah.
Facebook.
They have a landing page, but then they also have a Facebook page. So they have
okay, so
the landing page isn't live yet, though.
It'll
be live by tonight.
You're saying
that's what we always
do a blog post because that's really what cool, I'm familiar guys. With?
Yeah, well, and so the idea of a landing of an MVP, I think Greg said it in his one-on-one, I think, with you the other day, which I thought was brilliant. I wanted to quote it, but it was start helping people now. Right. So whatever you're doing, the reason you're doing it is because you want to solve a problem, right? Solve that problem for one person right now. How can you do that without creating your whole big site, right? I want to go buy a gift for my spouse next week for his birthday. That's a cool thing from Orlando. Solve that for me. You can do that.
You want to do what?
I want to buy a cool gift for my husband for our anniversary next weekend. Mark.
Yeah. Well, I can give you 10. In my model, I give you 10, not you, anybody, 10 products. They're right, not so, customized
so,
to you.
But so for an MVP, solve it for a few people in one setting now. Like, you can't solve it for the whole country yet, but you can solve it for Orlando for a few people right now. How would you do it? A blog post totally does it, right? So if you put this blog post up and one person gets a gift for somebody, you've solved it.
Okay, so MVP, do you come out of this, because you had expressed to me a lot of not feeling good about the MVP process.
Yes, we sat down for an hour, and I basically went through therapy, and the next day I quit. What's your question?
My question is, are you in a better place with the MVP now? Minimum viable
product. This was good because I had nothing, and they didn't punish me for not having anything. They helped me. And I was able to go back and forth with them. I don't feel like I always come off rude, but I don't feel like I came off, it wasn't combative. Like, don't help me, I know everything. It was more like, I had to think through what they were saying. And at some points I would type, and at some points I would say, no, here's the reason why that won't work. And you know, a blog post, I can see that. I can see it happening. It's just like, I just have been doing that since 2007. So I wasn't expecting that to be the solution. Because it's the solution, it's something I can totally do by myself. It's just, it'll take a long time, and I'm very impatient.
So I found it interesting.
And lazy.
I found it interesting that you gave Jolene a bunch of MVP advice after having said over and over that you don't know what it means and you don't like it and all this kind of thing. But you gave some of the best feedback of anyone. So what was going on there?
Melissa talked to me and she said part of the benefit of, because I stopped coming for like 2 weeks. At one point she said part of the benefit of you being here is you get to learn and listen and get feedback, but also you get to give other people feedback. And of course, in the short time you've known me, I'm sure you know I would devalue my feedback. So when she said that, I got that. It sort of gave me permission to open my mouth. I also thought, when I had that permission, I thought, well, and I thought through it, I was like, okay, well, I know that when they come to me, I'm not going to have anything. Does that mean I have to shut up the whole meeting? And then, you know, I don't have any. No, I kind of was like, you can talk. And I think like the more people talk, the more other people will talk.
Yeah.
And I think I might have said the first thing and it was received positively and people built on it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just me. It was like other people building, and I was listening to what they were saying, and I would think of an idea based on what the last person said, and it felt very natural. I think I listened to everyone's idea. It took me a while to soak in. I would stop people because I couldn't listen and type at the same time, which is what I need to do. And I have a list. I finally worked through some thoughts that they gave me to something I could actually, okay, I can do this. Versus sometimes where you get a lot of advice and there's so many advices, so many pieces of advice flying at you. For me, I get overwhelmed and I just stop listening. I'm just like, just stop talking. Are we done? Okay, yeah. Which I kind of saw fashion blogger.
Jolene, yeah.
Jolene, I saw that happening to her. She was not taking notes. And her eyes were big and people were throwing stuff at her. But for her, she was able to hear it and process it immediately. And by the end of it, I think she did feel better. You know, I just take slower. I'm really slow at processing.
Yeah, but where I see you at now is now your MVP is something you know you already know how to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which makes me comfortable.
So our founders are well on their way to get real products in the hands of real customers. At some point, they'll be forced to come to grips with whether they're in love with the problem they're solving or just their own solution to that problem. Next time on Accelerator.
So I hate to beat this dead horse here, but are you more attached to the problem that you're solving, or are you more attached to the product that you're developing?
I'd have to say the problem, because as a fan, like watching it, it's something it's something I can't get over, like seeing somebody, you know, get hurt and then maybe down the road their speech is slurred or they've committed suicide. Or, you know, there was a fight a couple months ago with a guy, you know, just came over to the States, first fight, experienced a brain bleed, and he's still in a coma now. You know, they could have stopped that fight earlier, like if they had the data and they were able to see and track how much punishment he was taking, you know, the doctors could have stopped that fight. He would have went back to Europe with his family, his wife and his kids, and, you know, would have lived to fight another day. But so that kind of thing bothers me. So I'd say it's more the problem than the product.
The Accelerator podcast is hosted by Josh Elledge, produced by me, Brian Orr. I also do all the other back of the house stuff, the mixing and editing and all that kind of stuff. Thank you for listening to the Accelerator podcast. I want to let you know about something real quick. If you have an Android phone, the Google Play Store now is open for podcasts, and the Accelerator podcast is there in the Google Play Store. So search for us there. We really appreciate it if you would subscribe. That way you don't miss any episodes, and that helps give us a little bit of boost in the old marketing juju on the Google Play Store and on iTunes if you're on an Apple device. If you look at that, look for the Purple Podcast app. I'll talk to you again soon on Accelerator. We'll be right back.